You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Welcome to the second hour, Wake Up Tucson, brought to you by Cabco AZ, Central Arizona Block. Three great locations, Wetmore, Valencia, and Sierra Vista. Ed Alexander, good morning.
Morning, Christy Simone.
Are you having a decent time playing the class of 68 tunes today?
We're going to have some more fun. You got it.
Awesome.
Yeah, baby.
This is good. I'm enjoying it. So, we'll do my class. My class year is definitely not, well, mine's 89.
Well, that's interesting.
It's like the real 80s was kind of dying out at that point. Uh-huh. And, you know, you got stuck with like Wild Wild West and junk like that or something like that. But we'll figure it out next week after Memorial Day, of course. And of course, Memorial Day Monday. Yes, we know we might have barbecues and graduation parties this weekend. 10 feet apart. Let's remember all of those who gave the ultimate sacrifice for this country, because that's what it's about. And as Tia Gloria says, stop saying happy Memorial Day. It's just the idea that it's Memorial Day where we're remembering those men and women who gave their lives in service of this country. So you can be free and liberated and stay in your houses because the government told you to do for the hundreds of millions of Americans trapped in their house. I don't know if that's the best way to repay those men and women for that sacrifice, but we'll get to that later. Van Buren's going to be here. First 10 years of 2000. And then we have the U.S. Secretary of the Interior, David Bernhardt, making a return appearance at 7:45. Let's go right to the phones. We're doing Food Friday. And, of course, brought to you by our good friends at Visit Tucson. Yay. For years, I've been telling you guys, stop going to the adult McDonald's, as we like to call it, the Chili's and Applebee's and those kind of places, and say, hey, we have an amazing local food scene, and it's coming. It just keeps bubbling up every year, all these great local places. So let's go to Matthew. He's with the Angry Crab Shack, one of the best names of a restaurant in Tucson. Matthew, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Tell me, why is this crab so angry?
We drop them in hot water, and they're not too happy about it, you know?
And when people say, Matthew, what kind of menu? What am I expecting? What's the cuisine at the Angry Crab?
It's a Cajun backyard boil. Table's your plate, your hands your tools. We boil shrimp, mussels, clams, Dungeness crab, snow crab, king crab, lobsters.
Wow.
We also have a smoker on premise, so we smoke brisket as well, pulled pork, pork ribs. We're doing chicken again. And then from our appetizer menu, our calamari is amazing. We got fresh oysters, hush puppies. It's pretty fun, man.
And does it have a Cajun flair or not a Cajun flair?
It does, yeah. We're known for our trifecta. It's Cajun, lemon pepper, and garlic.
Okay.
Mixed with, you can go as spicy as you want. Our mild starts with some cayenne pepper. Our medium's a double portion of cayenne. We got our 3 is habanero, 4 is ghost pepper, 5 is scorpion pepper.
And you guys, where are you guys located so people know?
We're Grant and I-10. I believe it's the northeast corner. Right there next to the Hyatt.
Okay.
Yeah, we're nestled right in between two hotels.
And what are a couple of your favorite things on the menu right now?
I love the charred oysters. We char them on the grill, a little scampi butter, red chili flakes, Parmesan cheese, and then we put a little garlic bread on the side as well. Our Dungeness crab is super yummy. It comes by the pound, but it's usually almost 2 pounds. But once you open it up, the head of the crab, like, you can turn it into a little rice bowl and get all the extra juices and the mustard and stuff out of that. It's really good.
I'm looking at your menu right now, and it is the Cajun seafood boil and crab boil, price by pound. You head on shrimp, snow crab, king crab, shrimp easy peel, lobster, Dungeness clams, crawfish, blue mussels, green lip mussels, Dungeness clusters.
Yeah, buddy.
And what's the status of dining room? Are you serving in dining room now? What's going on there?
Yeah, we are. You know, we're separating everyone to every other table. Our front of house is wearing masks just to make people feel comfortable and let them know we're going with protocol. But that's really the only thing that's changed. You know, we're supposed to be sanitizing and cleaning as we're going, and be an example. You know.
And what's the website for you guys, Matthew?
It's angrycrabshack.com.
And what's hours of operation?
It's 11 to 9, Sunday through Thursday, and then 11 to 10, Friday and Saturday.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing the good news about the Angry Crab Shack over on I-10 in Grant. Very few places I know in Arizona that you can just do the big boil where they throw everything on your
yeah.
table. So
cool.
Check them out, Angry Crab Shack, I-10 in Grant. Matthew, thank you for your time, and good luck, and keep going.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thanks for the support, folks.
All right. Have a good day. That's Matthew from the Angry Crab Shack. We come back. Mark Van Buren's going to do the top 10 movies of between 2000 and 2009. And then we are going to have the U.S. Secretary of the Interior, Mr. Bernhardt, on. And then Ted Maxwell from SALC in the third hour. Mr. Mason, I'm going to leave. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. All right, we got to get going on 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Welcome to Mark Van Buren, our movie guy. Mark, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Not too bad. You're getting squeezed by the U.S. Secretary of the Interior, so we got
well,
five.
It isn't often I get to be the lead for the Secretary of the Interior, so I'm honored.
Put that on your LinkedIn account. Now, so let's get going. We got top 10 movies between the year 2000 and 2009.
Right, and so the first one at number 10 in 2007, and I did this one for you, Chris, because I know you love the movie, and I've just recently watched it, and I have to agree, Hot Fuzz.
Yes!
91% by the audience on Rotten Tomatoes, and it actually won Best Comedy Film in England in the year 2007. So a very, very funny movie. Simon Pegg is just sensational.
Hold on, one more sound thing.
Yeah, I know you were really into it.
What's number nine? I don't want to bask in the glow too much.
Yep, number nine. I like the way this story is written. It's The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. It was done in 2008. A little bit of a different movie with a twist. It's a sentimental journey of an old man, and the twist is it's aging in reverse. And it won three Oscars for art direction, makeup, and visual effects. And I thought it was just a very well-written movie.
And who's in that movie?
Who is in that movie? Well, I will tell you. My computer is slow.
Brad Pitt and
Kate
Blanchett.
And well, there you go.
And Tilda Swinton's also in it. You are correct.
Tilda Swinton is in it. That's right.
So. And again, this was, again, what I liked about this movie, again, something different. Right?
Well,
same with Hot Fuzz, something different.
Yeah, very well written and, a good story. And, it definitely holds up. I liked it a lot.
Excellent.
Coming in at number eight, and this is also a different movie for me, Letters of Iwo Jima. 91% again by the audience. And it won a Best Oscar for Sound Editing. It was done in 2006, Letters from Iwo Jima. But it's a military drama shot basically from the Japanese perspective. And Clint Eastwood was the director in this, and I think he just did a phenomenal job because too often when you see war pictures, you see it from the perspective of the Americans. But in this one, you did it from the Japanese who are fighting the Americans, and it really brings home that war is hell for both sides, and basically the soldiers are the ones that basically are the victims in these situations, and it's the leaders that put it into play. So I thought it was a very interesting movie.
Now I want to stay here for a second. Everyone sometimes you forget, right? He did the companion piece to this, right? There's Flags of Our Fathers.
Right.
And letters of from Iwo Jima, and one's the same thing from the American perspective and one from the Japanese perspective.
Right.
And what a cool thing.
It's an interesting thing. I mean, it really and truly is. I mean, you know, because like I said, we have a tendency to be jaded and you look at it from just our perspective. But when you look at it from the other side, you go, you know, war really is horrible. It really and truly is.
Actually, now that you've said this, I think this would be a good doubleheader to watch on this Memorial Day weekend would be these two films.
I think you're absolutely right.
Look at me. I got a good idea once in a while, Mark.
Yes.
Oh, what's your next book, sir?
Number seven, in 2009, The Blind Side. I really like this movie a lot. Sandra Bullock is really fine in this, but it's really the story of a true story of Michael Orr, who was a homeless teen. And basically, I don't know if they ever adopted him, but I think they fostered him, adopted by this family where Sandra Bullock is the mother. And he becomes a first-round draft pick in the NFL and becomes very successful. But it's a heartwarming story, and it won an Oscar for Best Actress with Sandra Bullock.
I like this movie a lot. My wife loves this movie. Whenever it's on, she's on it. Okay, Sandra Bullock is so amazing in this flick, right?
Yeah.
The guy who plays Michael, the football player,
yeah,
he is amazing also in this flick. I don't know if he was nominated, but he was so...
No, he wasn't nominated, no.
That gentle giant kind of thing and, you know, trying to break away from the world of poverty and drugs from his, you know, his parents. He didn't come from the best place possible and then kind of being adopted by this family. And it's a football movie and it's good. I really do like it. A lot of heart in this one.
I love the one scene where, you know, he's thinking about going to Tennessee, I think, and their color is orange. And she goes, I can't wear orange. You can't go to Tennessee. Orange is not my color.
So, no, that's great flick. I'm glad you chose that. What's your next one, sir?
Yeah, my next one up in number six, done in 2000, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. For anybody who likes martial arts, this to me is the catamount martial arts film. I just think it's very tastefully done. It's beautifully shot. I mean, the cinematography in this thing is just unbelievable. It won four Oscars for cinematography, best music, art direction, and best foreign film, a Taiwan film. And it's, you know, there's scenes where the martial arts, they're performing above the trees and they're flying around. It is just, I think it's sensational. It really, really, and it's a martial art movie that really has some heart to it. So I thought it was well done.
You know, it was one of these martial art movies that was the big picture, right? Like it was right. That big blockbuster-esque feel to Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Then you had all these crazy wire work with the special effects of all these people flying around. Because, you know, when you think of a martial arts flick, they're usually low budget pieces of crap.
Yeah, well, they are, and you look in for a couple of great fight scenes, but this thing was just, it kept me entertained during the entire movie. I really liked it.
Well, it was this movie, and then, of course, the grittier, Kill Bill movies, right, that had that martial arts thing on that grander first scale kind of thing. So,
no question, yeah.
Let's do one more, and then we'll go to break.
One more, another one in your genre, done in 2001, The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring.
Yes!
It's an impressive film that stays true to the written story, I think. And you would know that better than I. And it won four Oscars for cinematography, makeup, music, and visual effects. And it was nominated for Best Picture. So 95% by the reviewers on Rotten Tomatoes.
What's the fan say?
91.
They don't know anything, these fans. No, anyway, what I was going to say is, so as a guy who started reading the J.R.R. Tolkien books as a third grader, and they're some of my, if you said, what's my books I'm going to bring on my desert island, they're there, okay? Lord of the Rings.
Sure,
and so you're always wary when Hollywood does your favorite book. And Peter Jackson, I got to give him credit, in the Lord of the Rings movies, he had to make some changes, but the iconic scenes of the movie, of the book, he did very well in this movie and gave it a lot of heart and some Hollywood pacing, and I give him credit. All three of the Lord of the Rings films he did that in.
Yeah. Well, and that's the rub, because when you take books like that, and they're just so complicated, it is really tough to stay true to that form, right? But he does it, and he does it beautifully.
So I'm going to share something with the audience. So one of my favorite scenes is Gandalf and the Balrog on the bridge, right? Mm-hmm. And that's actually my license plate on the front of my car. It's one of my favorite scenes where he lays down his life for his friends. And I will tell you that he nailed that scene. I was like, don't blow the Balrog scene. Don't blow the Balrog scene. And Peter Jackson did a great job with that.
There you go.
So, all right, sir. Hold on. You're doing good work as always. We'll come back one more segment with Mark. We got the rest of his top 10 movies of 2000 to 2009 coming up. And then the U.S. Secretary of the Interior coming up next. Ed Alexander, spin us away.
Eric Clapton, Ginger Baker, Jack Bruce.
Just celebrated Jack Bruce's birthday last week here on the Wake Up Tucson show. 10:30, The Voice, local news and talk. Secretary of Interior Bernhardt coming up in the next segment, right after Secretary of Entertainment and Movies,
yeah!
Dr. Van Nostrand, Mark Van Buren.
Thank you for that introduction.
It's well deserved.
Going here.
Yes, sir.
We've got four to go. The next one was done in 2002, coming in at number four. Catch Me If You Can. I've talked about this movie before, but it's the story of Frank Abagnale, who is a con artist and one that you really, really not necessarily identify with, but basically you're pulling for, because he just does all these crazy things. He gets on an airplane and pretends to be a pilot, a commercial airline. I mean, he's done a lot of different things, and I think it's one of Spielberg's best films. Christopher Walken plays his father.
What? Christopher Walken's in this movie?
Yeah, he plays his father and actually was nominated for Best Supporting Actor. He didn't win. But yeah,
wow.
Yeah, there you go.
Gold-plated diapers, baby.
Yeah, very, very good movie. So check it out.
I love this flick, and this is, again, one of the top 10 movies that whenever it's on, you have to watch it. And for me, this is one of those.
It is, and the guy's phenomenal. I got a chance to meet him in Orlando like 20-something years ago, and he's just a fascinating man, and ended up working for American Express after he got out of prison. So interesting man. It's an interesting story. A lot of unique movies in this list today.
And it's a fun John Williams soundtrack on it. It's not typical John Williams, because it's not, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Star Wars, that kind of thing. And it's kind of a fun little soundtrack, too.
Yep. Which leads into the next movie, which is another unique movie, and it's coming in at number three, done in 2006, Little Miss Sunshine. And I think this is a laugh riot movie. I really think it's hilarious. It's the story of a seven-year-old who enters into this beauty pageant, and her dysfunctional family gets in the station wagon and drives to wherever the pageant is, and it is just hilarious. It won two Oscars. Alan Arkin wins for Best Supporting Actor and for Best Writing. It is a funny, funny movie.
Very nice.
We watch that at home about at least once a year. Yeah,
crazy. I mean, it really is one of the
great characters. Yeah.
I think you discover something each time you watch it. And coming in at number two, done in 2004, and I think Jamie Foxx's best movie ever was Ray, the story of the Ray Charles story. Won two Oscars for Best Actor and Best Sound Mixing. And quite honestly, I think, I know Jamie Foxx played piano in this, and it was just phenomenal. It's so well done. I think if you closed your eyes, you thought you were listening to Ray Charles. I mean, he was that good in it.
No, his performance, sometimes we like to say that we overuse the word tour de force.
Right.
This was the tour de force Jamie Foxx performance. easily.
Isn't he? He's just such a talented guy, and you would think the guy who played Wanda on Living Color, you know, would be kind of limited, but this
right.
guy's range is just absolutely incredible. He is a really, really good actor.
What else you got? Well, we had number one?
Top one.
Oh, my
number
Lord.
One.
It's going
number
fast.
One. I was smoking through this thing, man. So this one, and again, we've probably talked about this movie before, but I think just such a great, great flick is Gladiator. And it was done in 2000. It won 5 Oscars for Best Picture, Best Actor. Crowe wins that, of course, in costume design, sound, and visual effects. And it is just a sensational movie. Rotten Tomatoes only 87% by the audience on this. I would think it would be higher, but I just love the film. And it's the story of a general who ends up turning gladiator because of the change of power of the people in control, and it is just a very captivating movie. I just so well done.
Now this is, I want to use tour de force. This is a tour de force. No, anyway, no. Russell Crowe as a 2 foot tall Australian playing this role is amazing.
Yeah,
the Hans Zimmer soundtrack's amazing. And you know, Joaquin Phoenix started playing his role of disturbed people, his reign of,
you know,
playing that kind of person.
Another guy, though, you know, how many movies can you really hate this guy in? He is just so good at that villain type person, and just creates a lot of emotion inside of you when you're watching this guy. I mean, he was pure evil in this movie, and he was so good in it.
A lot of, you know, it's funny, as I'm looking at the list of movies in this OO's kind of decade, there was a
right.
lot of really good films made in the OO's.
No question about it.
And
yeah.
you getting 10 had to be tough, because, trust me, I am not going to put Avatar up there, even though it was there. I'm sick of Avatar. I thought it was overrated.
I had 22 on my original list.
You know, so here's some other ones in the OO's that The Dark Knight with Heath Ledger and Christian Bale's in OO's, right?
Sure, absolutely.
That's a good movie. We're not doing any of the Star Wars prequels, sorry. Castaway, which is a Van Buren movie.
I love Castaway, absolutely, yeah.
Let's see what else we got here. We are not putting Cars on there, sorry, or Ratatouille. sorry. Now another big one, Oscar winner wise, was No Country for Old Men.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, you know what though?
What happened?
You know, sometimes I like that movie, and sometimes I'm going like, I don't get it. I don't know. I'm caught in the middle on that one.
So what I love about that, first of all, Javier Bardem as the bad guy. Is he the most understated, chilled bad guy ever?
He is the baddest bad guy, man. He's so good. Yes.
That scene with the old guy at the gas station. Amazing.
Yeah, that is very good. That is very good.
You know, we did have Kill Bills in those days. A lot of people like the Kill Bills. I think they're fun, but the idea that I have people that watch it 58 times a day is a little weird.
Yeah.
Oh, There Will Be Blood.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah,
that's a good one too.
Because that's something that's come up on. A Million Dollar Baby is a one in the 2000s, which I thought was fine, but didn't blow my mind. Russell Crowe again, Beautiful Mind.
Yes.
Oh, he's sensational in that. And again, that's so different than Gladiator. I mean, you know, he goes on the opposite side of the spectrum in that one as a professor, and he's just sensational.
You got Aaron Brockovich in that, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Lost in Translation. That's another one.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some good flicks in there, my friend. There's some.
Yeah. There's no question about it. It was not a bad decade for movies. No question.
And then of course Sideways, which made it okay for everyone to drink wine to excess and say, "Oh, I'm out of tasting." So.
I actually love Sideways. It's a fun jaunt if you like, and you like. Duo movies, you'll like this movie.
All right, I got to get going. There's a U.S. Secretary of the Interior waiting for me. So,
all
Mark
right,
Van Buren?
Tell him I said hi.
I will tell him Dr. Van Nostrand says hi. Sir, have a great day.
Very good. Take care.
Thank you, Mark. Mark Van Buren, our movie guy, doing all of his great work. We come back. David Bernhardt, he is the U.S. Secretary of the Interior. He is making his return appearance to Wake Up Tucson. A lot of you have questions about the opening of national parks and things like that. We'll talk about that with Secretary Bernhardt. Wake up. Wake up, Tucson. Let's go right to the phones. Welcome back to U.S. Secretary of the Interior, David Bernhardt. David, good morning, sir.
Chris, great to be here again.
So let's talk real quick. I know a big thing as part of reopening America, and one of our fellow hosts here, Bill, was talking with me, messaging about how now that a lot of people are going for doing any kind of foreign travel is going to be off the charts for a while here. Going to our national parks might be a great thing to start looking at. What is the status of opening up our national parks?
Well, we're in the process of moving forward. The president gave me clear direction to be very closely aligned to each governor. And so our approach has been to have our public health officers look at every unit, facility, service of our property, and try and maximize access in a way that is both safe for our employees, safe for our great visitors, and at the same time, very in line with the governor's approach. And we've been doing that on a park-by-park basis across the country. And it's actually going quite well, to be candid.
So we know here in Arizona, Governor Ducey was very adamant about keeping promoting that people should be going outside and exercising and, you know, of course, not going insane, trapped in their houses. So this feels like the next level of making that happen. And, of course, the jewel of Arizona, the Grand Canyon, is opening this weekend, correct, Secretary Bernhardt?
That's right. We're beginning to restore access to the Grand Canyon this weekend. And you're absolutely right about the governor's approach to getting out. And that the governor's approach is grounded in good science. The reality is you can social distance outside. America has to understands clearly how to social distance, and there's nothing better than being out getting some fresh air and exercising. But on top of that, our national parks and public lands can provide solstice, a place of contemplation and reflection and rejuvenation. And so we encourage folks to work with us as we begin to restore access. And what you'll see is certain areas will open, then certain facilities will come online, and then we'll gradually move through the process, trying to stay right at the pace of each respective governor, and working very closely with the public health community. And so that's what we're planning to do, and I think it will end up having a very good and enjoyable summer as people get out. The vast majority of our public lands throughout this have been accessible, and we want people to know that they can come out and enjoy our great public lands. And if they're going to a particular park, look on the website and make sure you know what will be there and what won't, so you're not surprised. If you're feeling ill or you're an older person that's feeling ill, you might want to wait and go to the park a little later.
Just like anything else in this world right now. And of course, you can go to nps.gov as the big site for all the national parks. Now, let me ask you this question. There's a state next to us called, it rhymes with California, and they have a special governor over there. Because one of the listeners want to know about Yosemite, right? So I know you're working with governor to governor, and of course, Governor Ducey's attitude has been a lot different than Governor Newsom's. So when you work with a state and a place like Yosemite, what's the situation there?
So right now we're leaning forward with that, with the governor there, and Yosemite is sort of a unique experience because of there's some challenges with the local community and healthcare. But the reality is we are currently aligned with the governor. We're going to watch things, and we may we may work with them to deviate. But here's what I really believe is happening. I think people are getting the message. The governors are beginning to get the message, even in states like that. And I think you're going to see things open up at the end of the day more quickly. People are ready to get out. The president recognizes that, recognizes the common sense of the American people. And let me say one more thing. The American people have figured this out, and they know, and it's incredible. I have a lot of photographs where, as we've reopened, we've looked at what people are doing, and here's the reality:
People will show up with their family unit or the cohort that they come with. Maybe it's a friend, maybe it's by themselves. And what you see is maybe close proximity of the group you're with, but then social distancing throughout. And 99.99% of the American public have figured it out, and they're doing it, and they're doing it great, and they don't need a much of rules restraining them going forward. It's just completely unnecessary.
Well, and part of the politics, a lot of this is political now that we're still in the situation we're in with some of these shutdowns and stuff. But, you know, of course, the press wants to cover, oh, here's some pictures of people at Yellowstone that don't have masks. They're going to kill everybody. After a while, this would be kind of tiring of a narrative, right?
Well, the reality is the CDC guidelines are very clear, by the way. If you can social distance, you don't need a mask. There is, when you're outside and you're, you know, social distancing from somebody, you couldn't be in a safer place. Let's just be honest about it.
What are the national parks going to, are they going to look at that much different in the future on how you guys handle your business? What's happening there?
I do think this year you will see different experiences, and the reason is not only the way we're managing the parks, but the concessionaires of these parks that have lodges and things like that. We've had to look and make business decisions based on what was happening now for this year. So I really do think that this year the experience in certain places, Not from an access perspective, but the experience could be different. But, you know, my view is very, very simple. And here was our priority. I do not believe there's anyone in America who gets in their car and drives all the way to the Grand Canyon and gets there and gets out, and the first thing they and their family say is, let's run in and see the IMAX movie theater in the visitor center. I don't think they say that. I think they say, let's run in and see the Grand Canyon. So we need to provide that access and then work through things. And that's exactly what we're doing, and that's what you'll see in the parks.
They don't do the thing that they do in the Griswold movie where they just go to the edge, look at it, and then drive right back.
Oh, exactly. That's right. That's right. Well, we hope they do more than that, honestly. Yes.
So looking at some of these other national parks in Arizona, what is the status? I don't know if you can tell of the ones in Arizona that you know are going to reopen or close. What else do you know about the Arizona National Parks?
We're going to be lining up right with the governor.
Okay.
And turning the switch as fast as we humanly can.
Gotcha.
I want us to be right, you know, nipping him at his heels. And that's where we'll be, I'll guarantee it.
So one of our mutually favorite people, Congressman Grijalva, wanted to take, he had a round table, Secretary Bernhardt, while everyone else's humans are suffering. He wanted to know a round table about animals catching COVID-19. Are you seeing anything about the animals in the national parks catching COVID-19? I just want to make sure.
So, you know, I want to be completely candid with you. I've not received a single report of that creating any difficulty for us in the parks or on our public land. I think we have some really big priorities we need to be focused on as a country, getting America going.
Amen.
And providing jobs. So we'll focus on that. And once we get that done, we'll spend a little time worrying about
it. He's our congressman, one of our congressmen here, so I had to bring him up. So,
yeah.
So hey, thanks for the call in as always. I appreciate it. It's Secretary Bernhardt, and whenever you got more updates on parks opening, send yourself or someone our way, okay?
Thanks a lot. Have a good one.
All right, have a good weekend.
You too.
That's U.S. Secretary of the Interior, Mr. Bernhardt, or David Bernhardt, as we like to call him. So it was good to hear from David. I love bringing up the Grijalva wildlife getting COVID thing. Now, real quick, before we get to the end of the hour here, Ted Maxwell, Southern Arizona Leadership's coming up next. So I had a meeting with someone from the U of A yesterday, okay? And we were talking about, I said, well, what's the situation with the COVID crisis and blah, blah, blah? And I said, what about all these kids that were still living on campus? Because there were still a decent amount of kids still living on campus. Either they were trapped there, they couldn't go home, whatever. And I think it was somewhere between 15, I think they were still at like 1,500 to 2,000 kids. So This friend of mine, she says to me, she goes, Chris, she says, how many people Do you think of these students that were living on campus tested positive for coronavirus, right? Out of this 1,500 to 2,000, right? And I went, I go, 11? And she goes, zero. Zero. So I'm just telling you, as we get moved through here about the U of A and all what they're doing all over there, that's a mess and a half, too. So that's a whole other thing. But that was very interesting when she, just the way she said it, because you can tell she's frustrated with what's going on over there at certain things. And she's just like, I said 11. And she jumped right on me. Zero. Zero. Let's go to break.
Okay.
Ted Maxwell from the Southern Arizona Leadership Council is coming up next. We're going to talk to Ted about, it's going to be mostly about reopening stuff. I want to talk about Ted's listening. I know that the legislature, basically the House passed a bill about protecting businesses from COVID lawsuits. It went down on a, check this out, party line vote. Not one Democrat voted for legislation to protect businesses from COVID lawsuits. So we'll talk about that when we come back with Ted Maxwell. We're going to Crazy Eddie A. He's the student DJ at Rincon High School. Here he is, the class of what the hell is that?
I don't know. I got all sorts of things happening. Go.
Yeah.